Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids.
Now I got one way ticket straight through your heart.
All right, going old school there. A little Macaulay Shanker group with Gimme Your Love from 1987. My name is Mark Striegel. Saw those guys on tour. I'm going to talk to Robin Macaulay about that in just a bit. So stay tuned for that. My brand new interview with Robin Macaulay, known for his great work with Michael Shanker, including that one, another song you're never going to hear on Sirius, right? Thank God there's podcasts out here playing music. And if you don't want to hear music on the podcast, go listen to one of those stale podcasts where they interview and talk and do nothing else, because, wow, those are boring. But anyways, Robin Macaulay, what an honor to talk to this guy. He is my guest on today's episode of Talking Metal, a show that's been going on since 2005. Man, when I was in my 30s. Remember that? Oh, boy. But yeah, again, Michael Shanker Group, also known as the Macaulay Shanker Group, later in the 80s. Man, I love them. They were so good. Michael Shanker delivering us so much good music through the years with the help sometimes of Robin Macaulay. So looking forward to talking to the great vocalist Robin Macaulay in just a bit. And wow, on my Instagram, you guys follow me on Instagram? It's at Talking Metal. I just, this past Thursday, put up a little picture of this album that I'm about to play. It is Skunkworks by Bruce Dickinson. And wow, what a great listen. Released 24 years ago this past Thursday. And here we go. A little Skunkwork by Bruce Dickinson, going back 24 years ago.
I'm
right, we got Robin McCauley of Black Swan coming up, so stay tuned for that. A great new band, Black Swan. We're going to hear all about it. Jeff Pilson is in that band. Matt Starr. Really, all-star lineup. Black Swan coming up shortly. But that song right there that we just heard was from the Skunk Works record, released in 1996. The song was Back from the Edge. Bruce Dickinson's band, produced and engineered and mixed by Jack Endino. And yeah, so Bruce described Skunk Works as kind of a low point in terms of his career, which is weird because I loved it. I thought it was good. I mean, artistically, it was great. I guess it was more the lack of commercial success that he had with it. But he says yet he remembers it fondly, and he still likes the record a lot to this day. When Skunk, and again, he said this like over 15 years ago, so who knows if he still likes it, this quote I'm reading. When Skunk Works producer Jack Endino remarked to me that making the record was a lot like stitching Frankenstein's monster together, he was referring to the vastly different musical inspirations that were involved with the four members of that band. So some very diverse people coming together to make some great sounding music, a album that leaned a little, you know, more maybe on the alternative side, I would say, than the metal side. But Bruce made it work with that great voice of his, and he made it work well. It's great. It's a great record, Skunk Works, despite its lack of commercial success. It's great stuff. And without further ado, let's get into some Black Swan music, followed by my interview with Robin McCauley. I almost said Macaulay Shanker, with Robin McCauley. So here we go. This is Shake the World, again, by Black Swan.
Ah! Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and what an honor on the line, Robin McCauley calling in. Robin, how are you?
I am good. Happy Black Swan Tuesday, dude.
Absolutely. Now, I got to tell you, I saw the video a while back for Shake the World and was just blown away by it. And I was like, I wonder if the rest of the record's going to hold up to this song, because that song is great. And then, you know, John Freeman sent me over the link a few days ago to the full record. Wow, man, you're knocking it out of the park with this. This is great stuff. You know, one of the press releases said like melodic rock, but no, this is hard and heavy melodic metal, in my opinion. This sounds really, really good. Right up my alley. I am loving it. Let's talk about it. How'd this all come together?
I think a lot of people are very surprised with those that got the advanced copies of how hard and heavy it is. And, came together really with Frontiers asking Jeff Pilson to put a band / project together. And Frontiers had approached me maybe 18 months, 2 years ago, with a view to doing something with me. And I was crazy busy. You know, I do this Vegas show, Raiding the Rock Folk. We're going into our seventh year here. We work 5 nights a week. And
wow,
I was also busy with yeah, thank you. And I was also busy with Schenkerfest, so it was difficult, he said, knowing the schedules right now with the rest of the guys. It was difficult to find that space and time, so we kind of put it on hold. Jeff called me about a year ago. He said Frontiers wanted to do this thing, pick a bunch of people. So Jeff told me that he immediately went to Reb Beach because he'd done the docking stuff with Reb, and I'd known Jeff since Macaulay Schenker days. He was also actually best man at my wedding 27 years ago. So we have quite the history together. So he called me and he goes, "Hey, it's what Frontiers want to do. I'd love you to do the singing and get together and do some writing with Reb. What do you think?" And I said, "Wow, that would be pretty awesome." And I said, "And you're playing bass, right?" And he goes, "No, I'm going to take a back seat and do more of the production." But we know how that ended, thanks to me and Reb. And, you know, they started knocking some ideas out. Everything was brand new. Everything was fresh. There was no rehashing of stuff that they'd had from the past or myself, for that matter. It was a fresh approach. Didn't really talk too much about what we should do, other than, okay, here we are, we're going to write some tunes and see what happens. And they had sent me a piece of music. I wrote some lyrics and a melody. I came back, we did everything at Jeff's studio, and Jeff and I and Matt Starr, we all live in LA. We live about 30, 40 minutes from each other. Reb, on the other hand, comes all the way in from Pittsburgh. And so I came to the studio and I started singing down a melody and lyrics, and that turned out to be a big disaster, the very first song that we wrote. And Reb's looking at me laughing and he's going, "Well, for a new project, big disaster is probably not the best title to start with."
Right.
And as it turns out, it becomes the second single, and it turned out great. We just went from there, really, and just kept knocking this stuff out and shaping it. And Jeff did an amazing job on production, and Reb just plays with a nastiness on this whole record. Matt came in and put some thunderous drums down, and we came up with a name. Reb came up with the name of Black Swan. We got clearance on it, and you know, it got mixed and we have a great record. And
yeah,
and
it really is great, sincerely.
And it was hard to put it, you know, not hard to physically put it together, but hard for us to be all in the same place at the same time. And invariably, that didn't happen all of the time. You know, Reb would get together with Jeff. I'd drop by if I was around. And I only have a Thursday, Friday off, and I traveled from L.A. into Vegas to do my residency here, going into year number 7. Jeff is almost never at home, so we would sort of send our schedules backwards and forwards, and he goes, "I'm off here. Are you off?" and sometimes I'd steal a day here and there, and they'd have some music ready. They'd send it to me. I'd get stuff done during the daytime here in Vegas, head back home and call Jeff, and he goes, I'm home, let's do it. And I'd hit the studio and we'd do a little pre-production, chop it up and lay the vocals down, do a harmony on it. And, you know, we'd have a song or the semblance of a song, and Jeff would do a rough mix, send it out to us, and we made it work that way. And it was great. I'm really, really happy. It's powerful. And we didn't want to put fillers on there. We just went, nah, this sounds like this. This sounds like that. Bam, go for it. You know? So, yeah, not easy, but a great finished product. I'm happy to say.
Absolutely. And that product is Shake the World by Black Swan. It is out actually this Valentine's Day, February 14th.
So it's by a Valentine's gift. Yes.
Yes. So we'll be posting this interview the Tuesday after Valentine's Day. So it's out now, guys. So definitely do yourself a favor and pick up Black Swan, Shake the World. Great, great stuff.
Thank you.
And, you know, there's a lot of music that Frontiers puts out. That's the label that's behind this. And sometimes we never get to see these bands live, just because of what you mentioned, the schedules of everyone involved.
Right.
Is there any chance we would get to hear you guys, you, Matt, Reb, and Jeff, play this live?
Well, we were actually discussing that on a broad spectrum this very morning, actually, how we would actually do that. And we're trying to find everybody's schedule as we sort of move forward into the year. I leave for Japan with Schenker early March, then on into the UK and the rest of Europe. Jeff will be nailing it with Foreigner all the way through September. Reb's got a crazy Whitesnake Winger schedule, and Matt then, of course, I think Mr. Big's going to do some more shows, and then he's got his Ace Frehley stuff. So,
Right.
We are trying desperately hard to find a space and time in another universe. when we can come together to do this. You know, I suppose, Mark, come Friday when we release this thing and we see what the overall reaction is.
Yeah.
You know, sometime that dictates that you have to go, oh, shit, we better do something, you know, before you lose momentum. So I don't want to jump the gun, but so far the reaction's been blowing us out of the water. It's like, oh, wow. People actually like this, you know?
All right.
And it's caught us by surprise a little bit because most people are going exactly what you were saying. Frontiers puts a band together. They call it a super group. I hate that whole thing.
Right.
I certainly wouldn't put that category on it. I don't want to anyway. But they do that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's more of the same kind of deal. And I didn't want to do that. I don't think the guys wanted to do that. So what you get is Black Swan doing what we kind of wanted to do, and at Frontiers went, we knew it would be good, but we didn't know it was going to be like this. So it kind of caught us and everybody by surprise. We were really happy with it. So maybe if that kind of positive comments continue, it might dictate that we have to seriously think about getting it out there, because it is very difficult when you have a project like this together. We all run away in different directions. So I personally hope that we can do it, a handful of shows somewhere. I know the guys want to do the same thing. They were all chatting this morning from wherever they all are and going, yep, that's the plan. Let's do this. Let's just find the time and do it. So there's my answer.
Okay.
As soon as it's possible, Black Swan will take flight. No,
very good. Very good. That's awesome. And you mentioned Michael Schenker. Wanted to take you back in time. The first time I ever saw you live was 1987, opening up for Rush at the in Worcester, Massachusetts. Wanted to, you know, there's been a lot in the news lately about Rush with Neil's passing, and I just wanted to ask you if you could share any memories of that tour, going on tour with Rush with MSG.
Oh, Of course. You know, I think at the time, and I remember that we thought it was somewhat of a mismatch, you know, doing what we did against what they do. I will always say this, that I always remember that Neil used to come out and sit, because we did a lot of the ice rinks at the time, and he would come out and sit and listen to our sound checks almost every single day. And
wow.
The band were just great. They were just a bunch of really cool dudes playing phenomenal music. And we had a great time with them. It really was the kickoff for Macaulay Shanker, because it was the first major tour that we actually did here in the States. And what a way to start, you know? And I always remember that. But some things like that you don't forget, you know? And a lot of times when you're touring with bigger band, big names, you know, there's very little sort of, I don't want to say that they're not cordial, but, you know, it's like, hey, how you doing? And that's about as much of a chance you get to say hello. But these guys were always really cool and interactive. And
right.
And it's good because, you know, at the end of the day, it's all music. We're all there for the same end result. And that was our entry into the U.S., opening up for Rush, and was pretty awesome.
Right on. And as far as the work with Michael goes, nowadays, Michael Shanker Fest, you've been playing live with him. Two great records so far with Michael. What's the future looking like for you and Michael Shanker?
Me alone as a single entity. We don't even talk about that, because this year is Michael's, he's celebrating 40 years in the industry. There's a lot planned. This is completely Michael's vision, this whole Shanker Fest thing that started back over 3 years ago now at Sweden Rock. When he introduced me to it, that he was going to bring all the original singers in. And I went, oh my God, you know, this is the best, because, you know, all of us in some stage or another with Shanker would be singing each other's songs. I don't think anybody ever sang my songs, but I used to sing Gary's and Graham's, you know, in whatever format or lineup it was. So to get up there and perform with these guys was just, it was great, because obviously I know them, but we never got to perform together, and the promoters loved it. Kind of had a domino effect and just kept going. And when we hit Japan in March, he's bringing Simon Phillips out. So we have two drummers. He's also bringing in Ronnie Romero, because Ronnie guests on one of the songs on Revelation. And a bass player, Barry Sparks, from back in the early MSG days. So the lineup just continues to get bigger and bigger. And I think that's what Michael wants to do, is to celebrate his history. And, you know, it may be a huge revolving door of musicians at the end of the day, because only so much is possible financially. And I know that here, when I do the Rock Vault here in Vegas, because we all tour at different times of the year, we have a huge roster of musicians that have to be available to jump in. So I think Shanker Fest will keep rolling till he has exhausted it. I do believe that. I think you'll see other bands maybe taking a page from his book and doing something similar, because it's a great way to celebrate the history of any band, giving the fans of that band everything that they wanted to hear. And with Shanker Fest, we all have very different phases in our career with Michael. So you get quite a diverse show at the end of the night. And of course, you know, you have the big fab faves of the closures with all of the UFO stuff. So it's a good piece of history all there in the same night. It's a 2.5-hour show right now. So, and we have come close to 3 hours on many occasions. And he's on fire. Wow. He's playing amazingly well. Probably the best I've ever seen him. And he's played some great shit over the years, but he's on fire. He's in a great place. And Shanker Fest will roll. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it seems like he's in a good space mentally, too, because I remember interviews I did with him many, many years ago, and he didn't really seem happy or
yeah,
I don't know. He wasn't like 100% there, but lately he's great.
Yeah, he's very focused, found his niche. He's found a real, he's got something to take a real bite into. And he puts a lot of thought and a lot of hours and effort into putting this, making it right. And really, I mean, he never used to talk. He never, you know, he talks, he sings a little bit, and it's like you can't shut him up now. You could never get that out of Michael Schenker. Right, you know, he'd just stand back there and let the band do the stuff. And now he is right up front involved. It's great. It's great. We stand back there going, right, let him have at it, Michael, you know. It's great, and he likes to tell the stories and all of the stuff that goes with it, and the fans are loving it because they never really got to hear him before. You know, I remember in the Macaulay Schenker days ago, I would just sit here with my guitar and you do the talking. And he'd say, hello, my name is Michael Schenker. That's about as much as you'd get out of him. Now the fans have an up-close and personal look and listen to him. You know, we have sound checks awesome. Now where he invites fans into the sound check, you know, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, but you get to see what goes on before the show even starts. It's pretty cool.
Awesome. Cool. And before we would let you go, Robin, you mentioned your show in Vegas a couple times. Can you just go into what that's all about and where people can see it and hear it?
Yeah, we started in 2012, and we did a showcase in downtown LA. Created a short sizzle out of that. It got picked up in Vegas, and we're going into our seventh year. Been voted the best of the category that we perform in, number one for the last 6 years. We've amassed almost 1,500 shows. We just left the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino because it was bought by Virgin. It became Virgin Hotels, Las Vegas. And we moved into the Rio in January. It's a classic rock show. Our story is 60s through the 80s. There's about 35 songs deep in a 90-minute show. Great lineup. Howard Leese from Heart, who's also a Hall of Famer. Hugh McDonald on bass from Bon Jovi. Jay Shellen, who on drums, who also is out with Yes. Blas Elias from Slaughter on drums, who's also a Trans-Siberian Orchestra, just telling you this because that's the kind of schedule that they have. Michael T. Ross on keyboards was with Lita Ford, with Tony Franklin was just in with us from the firm.
Blue Murder.
Yeah, Rowan Robertson on guitar. It was with Dio. It was phenomenal. Doug Aldridge was in the lineup. Tracy Guns was in the lineup. Singers, we have Todd Kearns, who's Slash's bass player. Todd is in as a vocalist on this one. Paul Shortino, myself. Sean Coy, female singer, was with Meatloaf and Dweezil Zappa. And another great singer, Megan Ruger, that was on The Voice. We've had Mark Bowles in. We had Andrew Freeman in from Laughs and Lions.
Yeah, wow. This is a laundry list of the greats here. Wow, yeah. So.
Oh, dude, it's just a textbook of great musicians, and we play five nights a week, Saturday through Wednesday, and it's a fun show. It's an all ages show, and people they get up and go crazy and. What makes it work is that the music is just like the record, and there's a lot of singers, and it's a show. Yeah, if you get it.
Yeah, well, we're thinking of coming out for the Scorpions Queensryche residency, so it would be great to catch you guys on another night while we're out there. I'd love that. Raiding the Vault, Raiding the Rock Vault.
Yeah, I mean, raiding the Rock Vault. Yeah, at the Rio. Yeah.
Awesome. And Robin, it's been an honor talking with you again. Thank you for this great new record, Shake the World by Black Swan, featuring yourself, Jeff Pilson, Reb Beach, Mike Starr. It is a great record that, you know, when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, maybe it's going to be like, you know, Dokken or Winger. But no, this is more like Dio than that. You know, it's like it's on fire. It's on fire. It's great. Hard rocking, melodic, heavy metal, in my opinion. It's great stuff. So thank you for giving us that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And we're going to check out some music from it right now here on Talking Metal. You're so full of it.
To Robin McCauley for joining us on the podcast. That's some music off the Black Swan record right there. That song was called Big Disaster. And I also want to thank all the patrons on Patreon. You guys rock. Big shout out to Brad, who upped his monthly pledge. I appreciate that, Brad. I know, because money is tight, and I know you guys work just as hard for it as I do. And I, you know, when you're giving it to me on there, I try to give you back with something with the videos and the bonus podcast every Friday, the Mark Striegel Show podcast. And yeah, so obviously I did want to mention Ozzy canceled his tour. I already talked about this on my YouTube page, youtube.com/talkingmetal. You can check out videos there. And I also, Victor and I discussed it on the Mark Striegel Show podcast, which again is, you can all get that for as little as $2 a month on Patreon. Just join me there and you can plug the RSS feed into your favorite podcast provider. App or whatever you do, as long as it's not Spotify. They don't like talking metal. Well, fuck Spotify. All right, guys, have a good one. And yeah, seriously, don't do Spotify anymore. I was doing Amazon Music. Now, because of my job situation, I actually get Apple Music for free, so that's where I am. And I gotta tell you, it's great. Apple Music rocks, as does the Apple Podcasting app and the Google Podcasting app. The Spotify thing is trash. Rip off artists. Have a great night, guys, or great day, or whatever it is. Visit talkingrock.net for more content by me, Mark Striegel.